Hello and welcome to another episode of the Transportation Exchange Podcast presented by Rush Truck Centers of Canada. I'm your host, Jason Cuddy. And on today's episode, we welcome Brian Gerber, who oversees the Isuzu product line here with us at Rush. Brian, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks. Nice to be here finally on behalf of Isuzu.
Part of the sweet spot of why this truck works so well compared to some of the other OEMs, you know, and we'll get into kind of each of the different lineups, but basically it's the design. This is a cab over design, right? So these things are incredibly nimble, mm-hmm. right? It's very unique to this product compared to everything else that at least Rush carries. So maybe kind of walk us through what you're seeing as you've taken over kind of the product line of, you know, the surprisingness of you know, operating the vehicle, but also kind of just where it fits in the marketplace.
Well, it is. It's kind of a strange sensation when you get into one of these after, you know, I've been in the industry for roughly 25 years, never really had a whole lot to do with the medium or light duty segment. So, you know, for instance, a few weeks ago, I was moving trucks around the yard just to kind of clean up the lineup a little bit. And I had more fun that day moving Isuzu trucks around because it's a strange feeling if you haven't been in a cab over. I mean, I grew up with that when I was a kid. My dad was a truck driver and often drove those old Astro cab overs and whatnot. So I'm used to it. But, you know, sitting in there driving, you're actually slightly ahead of the front axle. So when you're parking, pulling up to a curb, you can actually pull the thing right up over the curb and you can see it and you're ahead of the front axle. So from a maneuverability standpoint, especially in a city like Toronto or the GTA surrounding areas, this truck is ideal. Like if you're running a standard conventional 4x2 medium duty truck, if weight isn't an issue, you're crazy not to look at these trucks. Yeah. Even with a weight standard, like our bread and butter is the NRR diesel. It's a 19.5 GVW truck. So you can get 10, 11,000 pounds of payload on that, which, you know, if you're, you know, moving around a skid steer loader or appliances or any of that stuff, you're easily going to have enough weight capacity.
Yeah, and that final mile too, right? Like a lot of that is where these trucks fit in well. You're into the city and if you can picture it driving in, you know, in a major urban center, mm-hmm. you're at a set of lights in a cab over, you can see, like you said, right in a crosswalk right in front of you. In traditional, conventional, someone could be crossing in front of your hood and they'll cross right up against it and you won't see them. Yeah. Right. So from a safety point of view, from an operator point of view, the field of view you have in this truck as you're driving is phenomenal.
Yeah. I think they say it's something like 8 feet and I don't know exactly how that's measured, but it's basically from the driver's eye sitting in the seat, you can see 8 feet out in front of the truck to the pavement.
Yeah.
Which is just unbelievable. Like you can, and leaning forward, you can see right out in front of the truck. So visibility second to none. And quite frankly, there's not a whole lot of, say, competition for a truck like this. It's right. Really, you're coming down to the pickup trucks, the 550 Fords or the Dodges. And, you know, typically they'll have a similar GVW.
Correct.
As a NRR, say.
Yep. It's a bigger footprint.
Bigger footprint, you're going to have more maneuverability. And because of the low BBC on these trucks, mm-hmm. you can put a bigger box on the back as well.
Right.
And so you can get a little bit more payload as well.
Yeah. And so when you talk about that, you look at where it kind of competes in that world in the different product lines. There's basically three different products within the Isuzu offering. Maybe walk us through what they are.
Yeah. So there's actually more than three. There's probably six or seven. Mm-hmm. But they really step up between GVWs very tight. So we've kind of focused on three different model sizes. So the NPR HD has a max GVW of 14,500. In a lot of cases, that's plenty for what this market is doing. I think people have kind of got into the idea that they need to overdo it in terms of their capacity. But by and large, you know, 6 or 8,000 pounds of payload is generally going to do it. So that's an NPR. It comes in a gas or a diesel.
Yep.
The next size up, which is probably our bread and butter, is the NRR. It's in both a gas and a diesel, and it has a 19,500 GVW. That's kind of the sweet spot because there you can get the landscapers. Like I said earlier, you can pull a Bobcat or something onto the back, something with some weight. You can fit a number of mowers, trimmers, whatever you need in the back. Mm-hmm. And you can go up to a 20-foot box on that. So that's probably the bread and butter model. The challenge now is I think people are rethinking gas or diesel. We can get into that later. But over the last, say, year or two, the NRR diesel, which is the sweet spot, has been a little harder to get. So we've got more people that have been looking at the gas. And quite frankly, for this market segment, there's no reason why you shouldn't be looking at a gas.
And then when we go back to who kind of is purchasing these, traditionally, again, it's a smaller fleet. So it's not like they have a fleet of other diesel vehicles. Right. So as everyone knows, with the diesel, you've got different after-treatment systems and DAF. There's other touch points mm-hmm. that, you know, if you're not a truck person by nature, you know, it's a bit more challenging from the maintenance side, you know, a bit more to learn, a bit more cost, maybe more downtime. So by going with a gas option, it's more familiar to what you're maybe driving back and forth to work already, mm-hmm. you know, less maintenance items to worry about as far as running it. And maybe just a little bit easier to just incorporate into your everyday business offerings, potentially.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, when you get into the maintenance side of things as well, you can put in maintenance programs
right.
together with these trucks. So if you're a non-truck person, this is a fantastic option for you because you can essentially be covered for 5 years, basically yeah. bumper to bumper, in terms of not only your component coverages, but towing and also maintenance programs. So you can kind of pre-schedule your maintenance programs at the time of purchase. And this truck is basically covered for you.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And then the last segment is the F series. So the FVR goes up to a 30,000 pound GVW. That is an air brake truck, comes through the US. So, you need a Z endorsement to operate it. The others, you don't. You keep it under the 19.5 and you're going to be fine with just a regular license. But
correct.
You do need a CDL to drive the F-Series. But, you know, it's a worthy competitor mm-hmm. to any medium-duty truck, you know, small dumps, any of that stuff. The FVR, especially in a city like Toronto, it's worth looking at because you get into some of these downtown construction projects and they're a nightmare to get down there with a big conventional truck.
Yep.
Whereas you can do some of that job with a medium duty. In fact, you know, on a kind of a side note, I had doing a renovation at home right now and had one of these junk companies come in, which is my new favorite thing
yeah.
because they clear out all the stuff you don't want to touch.
No kidding.
But these guys come in and they show up in an NPR HD Isuzu and they've got it loaded up with appliances and all this stuff. It's amazing. They pack those things tight and
yeah.
they can get in anywhere with them. So
that's a good point. Even when you get back to the FVR series, it's again, it's still a cab over, right? So for a city use, or if you need that little bit longer of a body, some guys, again, you don't necessarily need to wait, mm-hmm. but if you're cubing out before you're weighing out and you can get a bigger body in 20 feet on that too, which is nice. So you can get that big footprint of a 24, 26 foot body mm-hmm. without the huge footprint of a conventional truck, right?
So yeah. And you can go right up to there. A 30 foot body on a 248 inch wheelbase yeah. FVR, which is huge. I mean, typically, if you're buying, say, a typical 4x2 medium truck, you're going to keep the body size to 24, 26 yeah, feet.
Roughly.
But yeah. because your overall length is tighter here and your maneuverability, you can go up to a 30-foot box without, you know, being too concerned. I just had a couple sent out for us. We've got them with 26-foot boxes on. We went a little bit smaller with lift gates. But, yeah, we're trying to get these things upfitted and so people can actually take a look at them and see that when they're looking, not thinking maybe in a cab over.
Right.
And that's often what happens. They're in the sale process with something else and they look at a cab over and it's a no brainer.
Yeah, no, for sure. It definitely makes sense. And you dabbled on briefly, but you know, there's the gas versus diesel versus the new powertrain, which is electric. Maybe we'll kind of walk through where Isuzu plays and kind of,
sure.
you know, what will we see there? You dabbled a bit on gas, but maybe we'll dig in a bit more and kind of, you know, finding a sweet spot for gas. It's maybe in a commercial vehicle isn't the go-to thought yeah. of for fuel.
Yeah. For the, you know, fleet of trucks that, mainly into the higher class trucks where they're running diesel engines. Yeah, it makes sense to have a diesel, but quite frankly, running around the city, you're not going to get a ton of the benefits out of the diesel that you're going. And quite frankly, the 350 horsepower gas in the N series has the same torque rating as what the diesel does, the right. 215 horsepower diesel. So you're still going to get similar power. The nice thing is if it's a customer who's not into trucks, it's going to be very similar to their automotive vehicle. So
right.
they don't have to worry about things like DPFs or diesel exhaust fluid and topping that stuff up. You know, it's a bit of a different beast. The
yeah.
diesel guy won't be worried about that, but it can be a little uncomfortable for the person not used to that.
For sure.
And, you know, quite frankly, the N series has a very automotive feel to it.
Yeah.
You get into the F series truck and it feels like a truck. You know, it's beefier, it's heavy, it's got bigger rubber on it. So it feels like a truck. Whereas that N series class, the NPR, the NRR, you can be completely inexperienced, get in this truck and drive it around and feel sure. comfortable in it.
Yep. That's a good point. And then coming soon, I mean, it's, it'll be a while till we kind of maybe see it here at the dealership, but recently announced anyways from Isuzu is the electric, the,
right.
the NRR electric.
Right.
We'll touch a little bit on kind of what that looks like that, you know, what people can get into eventually.
Yeah. I mean, a great place to look at the NRR electric is on the Isuzu North America YouTube channel. They've got some great videos, some walk arounds. They break the truck down. there's a lot of neat options on this truck, and you can, depending on how fast you want to charge this truck and how far you need it to go, you can choose select different battery pack sizes. So, you know, that's going to have two things. One, it's going to affect your route distance.
Right.
But if you're in a return to base route in the city and you're not putting on a lot of kilometers, it's, you probably don't need the full 9-pack battery pack, because I think they can go from either a 4 battery pack right up to a 9.
Yeah.
Which I think the 9-pack, I think it's rated at 250 miles or something like that.
Yeah, so it's pretty decent.
It is. It yeah. is. But you and I were talking earlier, and I think this market segment was ideally made for an electric truck.
Yeah.
You know, where electric shines is when you're in a start-stop operation where it can have regenerative braking and it can take advantage of the electrical system. A line haul in an electric truck, we're just not there yet.
No.
But these trucks, you know, 95% of their usages, you're not running from, you know, Windsor to Montreal with one of these. You're running around the city, whether it's Kitchener-Waterloo, it's Toronto, it's Oshawa, wherever that is.
Yep.
You're in city, you're lots of stops and starts. So it thrives in that scenario. And then really, you're going to adjust your battery packs based on what kind of payload you need.
Yeah, it makes sense. And what I know from previous lives where, you know, guys had early editions of hybrids, you know, and onto kind of the bread trucks that you see ripping around, the intention was to kind of get to this because it's the final mile. You're not putting many miles on, you know, yep. but the engine was running all day. So the hybrid idea was to take some wear and tear off the engine, obviously, you know, from exhaust, all that, you know, was refined. But now it's fully electric. But the nice part of this compared to those old school kind of first generation one is, for driver comfort, the noise mm-hmm. is huge. You can hear more. You can, you know, the visibility is still the same, obviously. But the big one was the HVAC system. Heating mm-hmm. and air conditioning works perfectly fine on an electric vehicle. When you had these hybrid units, or if you have a diesel one now, you shut it off. You can't idle.
Yep.
So in the winter, you shut it off. You hop back in. It's freezing, right? The truck never gets warm enough to get comfortable. Or in the summer, it never gets cool enough to be comfortable.
Yep.
Now with this electric, you can do your start, stop, and maintain the temperature inside. So just driver comfort alone be great. But the nice part with the Isuzu lineup, the way they've done compared to some of the other OEMs, is that offering of battery packs where it's not like, hey, it's this or that and that's yep. it. You can really fine tune your application, and you know, it's just kind of coming to market with, and it's got the new cab. We'll talk about that too.
Yeah, that's exciting.
But it's you know, so it'll be a while till we see it, but it'll be interesting to see. I think to your point, this is where the electric really shines in an application as it gets rolled out into the industry. This is yeah. the final mile is definitely home for it.
Yeah, the smaller stuff. I mean, it's almost more like the automotive side. It's really taken off, but you're not really seeing it in the heavy trucks.
No.
Yeah, we're just not quite there yet. I mean, you know, there's talk about the charging stations and all that. I don't think that's as big of an issue right now as range.
No.
And then you've got the early adopters when you get to your second stage right now, and you see this in the automotive industry right now. The early adopters are coming down to trade-ins, and what's happened in 5 years is the technology has advanced so fast. So, you know, that's kind of critical too. So we're kind of getting there with the electric truck. I think that I think it's going to be a winner. It's starting to get released right now. I think where you'll see the initial trucks go is probably into California, correct, where they deal yeah. with CARB and EPA, a little bit more stringent than what we deal with here. But we'll start seeing it here probably later in this year or into 2025. Toronto, the GTA is a fantastic market for it.
Oh, for sure.
So, but you know, there's other factors involved too, that's going to make it viable, like government incentives and whatnot to help subsidize the cost. Cause quite frankly, with electrical right now, we still need that subsidy.
Yes. Agreed. Yeah. To make the ROI make sense for a lot of customers. So, and a lot of it's going obviously to municipal and governments, you know, where there's the need for it in order to hit some mandates, but, yep. You know, for the final mile customers, I think, with the right rebates and that, I think it starts to make sense. You know?
Yeah, exactly. I think it's going to be. We're not there yet.
Right.
But in the future, it's going to be probably driving the bulk of our sales. In fact, with government mandates coming, it's going to have to.
Exactly.
So it's not really a matter of if, it's when.
Exactly. And in the interim, to keep your diesel or gas vehicles running, the Isuzu has a different program that a lot of other OEMs don't really offer, and it's their PSMP, right? Their Preventive Service Maintenance Program, I believe is the title. But basically, it's prepaid maybe maintenance program. Maybe walk us through kind of what that is. And that's, again, unique to Isuzu.
Yeah, they have, I think it's 4 different options that you can choose. And it really comes down to the depth of the service that you want to get. You know, they'll change oil, they'll grease fittings, they'll do all your regular maintenance. And basically what you do is, well, you know, the guys buying this truck, as we talked about earlier, they aren't necessarily truck people. So right. they're not going to have a shop. They likely don't have their own mechanics. They don't want to be doing their own oil changes and services and all that stuff. And quite frankly, with the complexity of the trucks today, I don't think most people want to do that. So
true.
What we do is we roll a PSMP program in right from the start, where we pre-schedule your services. And again, it just depends on how in-depth you want to get. We can customize them to whatever you're looking for. And then we'll roll that. You can roll it right into your financing if you want, quite frankly. And you're locked in at today's rates, which is kind of nice.
Yeah.
So that we can have, in, you know, the other thing, which is kind of on an aside, you're covered for 2 years of oil changes. Right. So you buy an Isuzu and the coverage is outstanding. So for the first 2 years, your oil changes are free. So it gives you more of the reason to come back to your dealer.
Yeah. And on top of that, their warranty is phenomenal, especially on the diesel side. You've got a base 3 year with an extended five that's included on the diesel that also includes towing.
Yes. Right?
So to your point, over a 5 year term with a preventative service maintenance program, so you have your maintenance coverage after your 2 years of oil changes, plus all your warranty. It's almost like having a full service lease.
Well, it is.
On an owned vehicle.
It is. It's fantastic for that guy that, like I said, isn't a truck person. They can get in. They can have full coverage really for 5 years. Your base vehicle warranties here are 3 years. I believe it's 3 years unlimited. But then you can add on for, I believe on the gas, it's $600. And you can extend your warranties out to 5 years. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But on the diesels, they're actually throwing that in.
Right.
So you get that full coverage to 5 years. But then the other thing that's remarkable about Isuzu is the towing coverage.
Right.
So you get your 3 years towing. But if you extend your warranty out to 5 years, you get towing coverage for a full 5 years, which is phenomenal. So it's towing to the nearest Isuzu dealer.
Yep.
But that kind of coverage, I mean, if you're worried about peace of mind, you're not a truck person, you're a little worried about the truck, this has got you covered for 5 years. So it's really remarkable to the truck business. Again, it's almost more like an automotive program.
Yes. And I guess as we talked on briefly is, you know, so all that's happening behind the scenes. And right now, the next thing coming down the line is the new cab. So
right.
The electric is going to kind of be the first adaptation of the new cab. But, you know, there's not all changes to these trucks over the last handful of years, but this seems to be a very kind of significant change in
its
design.
It is. So it's more than just a cab refresh. It's a full cab redesign. And it actually is starting with the NRR series. So that's been one of the reasons that we've had a bit of a slower trickle of NRRs coming in. We want more stock of NRRs coming in, but it's the first to receive the full new cab redesign. Gotcha. So typically in these type of launches, you have a ramp up procedure. So that's what's happening right now. We've got a number of them on order that we're expecting to see probably into May, which will be the full new cab design. So the cab, it's just they've changed some of the aerodynamics and improved the cross flow of air on the cab, but they've kind of still stuck to the traditional Isuzu look. It's got some new headlights, a new bumper inside the cab, a new plush interior. Steering wheels changed, the cab stack or the center stack has changed. So, you know, the cab has been changed from the ground up. It's extremely gotcha. Comfortable, but more than anything, the looks are stunning. So it's a great looking truck. I'm excited to get some in stock here.
Nice. And then one thing we didn't talk about as we talk about some of the technology and the safety features and just the drivability is they have an incredible ADAS system, which is their safety system, which,
yes.
You know, given the visibility out of the cab over is still good, but it still has some unique features that help even protect the pedestrians and outside world a little bit more.
Absolutely. Well, they actually have two driver interactive systems. One is simply just a passive system. So you can add that kind of aftermarket where it'll just kind of buzz and beep if you're going outside the lines, whereas the full ADAS system, which is your fully integrated system, you know, it interacts with the steering, the brakes, everything. So it'll actually pull you back into the lane. It has adaptive cruise. So you set your cruise, say, at 100 kilometers an hour, but you come up onto another car, it'll maintain your steering distance. A lot of these things that you're seeing in new cars.
Right.
If you see it in your car, it's probably available on a truck.
Yeah.
One of the great systems that they have on this truck, though, as part of the ADAS system is when you're sitting at a stoplight, there's a sensor in the truck. So if something steps in front of the cab, now you already have great visibility, but if something steps in front of the cab or you have a car pulls in front of you, you hit the throttle to leave after a stop, it'll actually take away the power from the throttle if it senses something in front of you, maybe a car stop that was supposed to. It's just a safety feature, which, you know, operating in the city with these trucks, you know, you're downtown Toronto, you've got bikes, you've got cars, you've got people walking. Like, I don't like driving my car downtown, much less one of these. So that ADAS system is something that really can protect you. And it's not standard from the factory. We don't order it standard on all of our stock trucks, but we are starting to see a significantly bigger uptake of it in our orders.
Yeah, and it makes sense. I think you've seen that with fleets on all levels. Mm-hmm. It's starting to be a bit more common. I think for the longest time it was, we'll look at it, what's the option cost, but I'm seeing a lot more fleets, especially on the passive stuff,
yep.
significantly being added on just as a driver aid to help them. But, you know, but a feature like that is just, you know, from a safety point of view, you can see it just getting adopted as we carry on.
Yeah, it's becoming almost standard on Class A trucks. Most of the fleets, for insurance reasons, are putting on their trucks. And I think people are just getting used to it. Like, it doesn't bother me. In my own car, it has the lane keep assist and all these features that kind of help you out. You can get a little bit lazy, but they're fantastic features once you start using them. And on a truck like this, the last thing any small business needs is to get into a bad accident where they're liable. So systems like these, you know, you have one incident where they help you out and it's paid for itself.
Yeah, that's a good point. No, all good points. So again, we want to thank you coming and give us an overview of kind of, you know, Rush's footprint with the Isuzu product line, but also just the product line in general. I think we touched on a lot of key points. And like I said, there's a lot of great information on the Isuzu website as far as all the, you know, the in-depth information that people may be looking for, a lot of videos, walkarounds, all that's there. So definitely check it out and then reach out to us for any additional information.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, on our website, we're making a point to put pictures of the actual trucks up with the bodies on them as they're upfitted. Right. So you know what we've got in stock. And like I mentioned earlier, The Isuzu Commercial Trucks YouTube channel is fantastic. It's got pretty much anything you want to know about an Isuzu there. But, you know, we've got a great sales force as well. Any one of them can answer any questions.
Excellent. Well, hey, that concludes today's episode. I do want to thank Brian for taking time to join us. And to catch up on past episodes, check out transportationexchangepodcast.ca. And until next time, thanks for listening.